do you want to have for your remaining days here on earth? What kind of days? Just shout some, what kind of days you want to have? Powerful. What else? Awesome. Joyful. Spirit-filled. Truthful. Fruitful. Okay, good. Fruitful. Well, you know what kind of days I want to have? Days of heaven on earth. Amen? I want to have some days of heaven on earth. Is it possible to have days of heaven on earth? If you have your Bibles, and I really hope that you do, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Obviously, we're going to change direction a little bit from the mind of Christ, and we're going to talk about days of heaven on earth. And Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 21. Deuteronomy 11, 21. He says this, this is the King James, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. Aren't you glad that God includes the children? Hallelujah. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Say the days of heaven on the earth. Let me read this in a couple different translations. The New King James says that your days and the days of your children be multiplied in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heaven above the earth, of the heavens above the earth. The New American Standard says, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain above the earth. Okay? The Darby translation says, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which Jehovah swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven which are above the earth. And then finally, the Young's Literal translation. So that your days are multiplied, and the days of your sons on the ground which Jehovah has sworn to your fathers to give them, as the days of the heavens on the earth. Amen? Now go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy. So keep your place there in Deuteronomy 11. So really, the days of heaven on earth, they have to do with multiplication. They have to do with a perpetual heritage of God's goodness. Okay? And let's see here. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was teaching his disciples. They asked him how to pray. And he said it here in verse 9, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore, pray. And he was really outlining some principles, and he said, our Father which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. So where is God? He's in heaven. Your kingdom come. Did his kingdom come? Okay. Where did it come to? It came to the earth. Your will be done where? Like where? God wants his will done on earth like it is in heaven. So we can, in essence, we can have heaven on earth when we do God's will. Having heaven on earth is about us lining our lives, our will, with God's will. When you do what God says, you get God's results, don't you? Okay? There are blessings, benefits, and rewards to those who do God's will on earth. Amen? Where did Jesus come from? He came from heaven. He is the bread that came down from heaven. He said that about himself. And while he was on heaven, he wanted to establish God's kingdom. And he told his disciples, he said, tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's very close. It's very near. Okay? And he came to establish God's will on this earth. He showed us how to do what God wants us to do. Right? We can follow his example. We're joint heirs with him. So doing God's will is bringing heaven to earth. Amen? And let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm really, 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 really excited about this. And I like, he said, days. God wants you to have days of heaven. And, you know, how many days do you want to have? As many as you want. All right, Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. We're going to back up to see how that we can have heaven on earth. Verse 1 says, therefore, you shall love the Lord your God. Let me just stop right there. How can you keep God's word if you don't love him? You know, I think we as the people of God, we just need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with the things of God, with God, with his spirit, with his word, with his people, with God's things. How many know God uses things? You know, his first thing was the tabernacle. It was God's mobile home. God lived in a mobile home. It was a tent. And his presence would come down in that tent. But when Jesus came and he died on the cross and he rose again from the dead, you and I are God's tents. So God doesn't have to tabernacle in a tent. He can tabernacle in a heart. And really, if you want to be a success in life, it's not knowing that God loves you. It's how much do you love God. I mean, knowing that God loves us, that's a fact. God loves the world. And no matter what the world does, his love for the world will not change. His love doesn't move. It's not shaky. It holds up under anything. It can bear under all things. It believes all things. Love, God's love, never fails. But we know that God loves us. But the question is, do we love him? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. When someone is doing something against God's word, consistently, habitually, okay? They've done it enough where they've established a pattern. where they're continually going against God's word. They're just telling God that they don't love him. You know, if you love God, you have to make a decision that you're going to love God, and you have to have action that backs up that decision. You know, when a man loves a woman, what do? They get married. If a man does nothing, that will communicate to the woman that he really doesn't love her. Think about the parable of the talents. And think about the man who was given the one talent. He didn't really love God, did he? Because what did he do? Nothing. If you want to communicate to God that you don't love him, do nothing. But really, having heaven on earth is about us loving God. I mean, we need to love God with the utmost of our being. We need to just fall in love with Jesus, that when he speaks, we respond. If you want to have heaven on earth, you fall in love with Jesus so much so that you love hearing his voice. And when he speaks to you, you do what he says. You notice, it didn't say you might love him. It didn't say I hope you love him. He said you shall love the Lord your God. You need to love him with your whole heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Everything that is you. Loving God is fearing God. It's walking in his ways and serving him, observing his commandments. And if you love God, you will increase, and the Lord your God will bless you. If you want God's promises, then keep God's commands. Having God's promises are conditional. If. Amen? So he says here, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments sometimes. Oh, it didn't say sometimes? It didn't say when you feel like it? It didn't say if you're having a good day or a bad day? Oh, does he expect us always to do these things? Absolutely. God expects us always. But I can't do that. If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, yes, you can. God wouldn't have told us this. He wouldn't have written it in his book if we couldn't. Now, let me break this down a little bit. His charge, it's a word. I'm not going to say the Hebrew word because my Hebrew consists of coffee. That's my Hebrew. But it's a word that means custody or sentry post. It's a preservation or a safe. It means to observe, like out of a duty. You got to keep God's charge. In other words, God's charge is what he makes you responsible of. He charged the people he gave the talents to, he gave them a charge to multiply those talents, didn't he? Okay? God's charge is something to be kept as a responsibility. In other words, you got to do what he requires. You know, sometimes God says something and we try to bring it down to our level. You know? I mean, Moses did that when God had a conversation with him at the bush. And, you know, he told Moses, he said, I've heard the cry, I want you to go. And Moses started coming up with all these excuses why he couldn't do what God was telling him to do. And we don't have to go there, but God answered every excuse. You know, not being able to speak wasn't an excuse. Not being eloquent wasn't an excuse. Not knowing who God was wasn't an excuse. And God answered, listen, God's got an answer for every one of your excuses. So why don't you give up your excuses and just do what he says? Amen? Let's just do what God says. If you really want heaven on earth. Listen, we're just passing through this earth, and Jesus is going to come back again. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. You know, I don't believe in global warming, but I do believe in a global meltdown. God's going to recreate this earth. The new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. It's going to be awesome. You know, some people think that they're going to get the earth ready for when the Lord returns. I mean, are you kidding me? Then we've got to keep his statutes. This word are things appointed or an ordinance, decrees, laws. A statute is something that is established forever. God enables us to serve him. Go with me to Luke chapter 1 for just a minute. Luke chapter 1 and verses 74 and 75. I want you to see something here. This was in Zechariah's prophecy. Look at verse 74 of Luke 1. And here Zechariah, he's prophesying about the Lord. He said that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Does God enable us to serve him? How? Without fear. Fearless. Say, I'm fearless. Whatever God asks you to do, you don't have to be afraid. And if you are afraid, you can still act in spite of it. Because fear is something to be overcome. But too many people allow fear to overcome them. But God literally enables us to serve him, to carry out his will. You are equipped. You have been destined. You have been created with supernatural DNA, and you have all that you need right now to do what God requires of you. Jesus doesn't have to get back on the cross because that was once and done. That was once and for all. Thank God he doesn't have to get on the cross anymore. Now we can take what he did, and we can go in his strength and in his power and his authority, and we can do what he's told us to do. Thereby being having heaven on earth. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I'm just laying the foundation tonight. But we are going to pick up momentum quickly. He also told us that we need to keep his judgments or his precepts. These are a formal decree, a divine law. In other words, it's according to what he says and what he decides. You know, Sunday I talked about how Moses, in his later life, he got angry. And he was disqualified from going into the promised land. And when he kept bringing it up to God, God said, listen, don't talk to me about that anymore. Moses had to abide with God's decision. Another example, Satan tempted David to take a census because he wanted David to trust in his own strength. And when he took a census, pride came into his heart because he thought, well, I got all this stuff. Look at me. And the Bible says what he did not please the Lord. And God gave him a choice. I'll do three things. He said, David, you pick. I can kill people by a plague. I can kill people with the sword or something else. And David didn't know what to pick, so he just threw himself on the mercy of God. And that day, God killed 70,000 people with the plague. Why? Because he did something that didn't please God. When we do things that don't please God, there will be consequences. Now, you may not experience those consequences right away. You know, just as there is delayed gratification, there's also delayed punishment. But it's according to what God decides. Who gets to decide what you do in life? Who gets to ultimately decide what you should be in life? You say, well, I do. No, you don't. Because you can make a wrong decision, and when you stand before God, because we're all going to stand before what? The judgment seat of Christ. So people think that, oh, yes, I can decide. And really, we can decide, but ultimately, who are we responsible to? The Lord. And if you've lived your life, your whole life, doing something that God didn't call you to do or that God didn't want you to do, and you get before God, and we can't give him any excuses at that point. Let's just be about the Father's business. We're going to talk about, you know what? Finding God's will is very easy. It's not hard. We're going to look at some scriptures like that before we go tonight. Because you know what? I want you to know God's will. God wants you to know God's will. Guess what? I'm in agreement with God. And then finally, his commandments. We're supposed to keep his commandments. So there's four things. We're supposed to keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments. And that's all about us loving him. You know what? Let's just, for example, if you're doing something and God says no, then we have to go by his decision, don't we? If he says no, then we got to stop that. I heard a minister talk today, and he was at this conference, and he was having a hard time. He said it was like, you know, there's a difference between dead air versus, you know, nothing in the air at all. And he's there, he's thinking about this, and God says, I didn't even want you to be here. So he was doing a four-day conference. This is day two. He gets up there and he says, you know what? I just realized that I wasn't supposed to be here, so this conference is done. I'm going home. I mean, why continue to do something when you know that God doesn't want you to do it? Or why haven't you done what God said for you to do? What are you waiting for? We have to develop a desire to spend time with God and communicate with him. You've got to seek him out. What happens? Seek him, and what's going to happen? You will find him. Well, I can't find God. Where is he? Have you been seeking him? No. Well, He said if you seek him, you'll find him. So if you haven't found him, that tells me you haven't been seeking him. Pursue him. Hang out with him. You know, God is cool. God is the most coolest, hippest, funnest person you'll ever be around with. God knows how to have a good time. He is the life of the party. You know, when he showed up in the temple, demons had a party. Ah! There's so much to be said about just loving God. Let me give you some scriptures that will help you find God's will. All right? Go with me to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. You know, when you have heaven on earth, miracles happen. When you have heaven on earth, lives are changed dramatically. When you have heaven on earth, the dead raise. When you have heaven on earth, things happen. Because God is alive, and you and I are carriers of his life. What did he put? He puts this treasure where? In earthen vessels. You are an earthen vessel that God has put his most valuable treasure in, him, his spirit, his word. And his word is Jesus. And Jesus has all authority and all power in heaven and earth. And he gives us his authority to go in the earth and represent him. And God has put each one of you somewhere. He puts you somewhere so that you can represent heaven there. You have the relatives you have because they're there to so that you can represent heaven to them. You realize that Jesus' brothers didn't accept him initially, but yet two of his brothers wrote books in the Bible. Jude was one of them. You know, they would tell Jesus, you know, I mean, they would say, who are your mother and brothers? And he would say, my mother and brothers are those who do my will. And he knows about family struggles. Are you in Psalm 40 yet? Verse 8. How do you need to approach God's will? I delight to do your will. Say, God's will is a delight to me. For one thing, it'll get you out of the dark and into the light because he's the light. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I delight to do your will. Notice he didn't say, I delight to think about it. I delight to do it. Oh my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. How does God's law get in one's heart? Does it come through osmosis? You know, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm getting God's word in my heart. You know, you could walk around with the Bible on your head all day, but that doesn't get it into your heart. You got to actually open the book, you got to read what it says, and you got to apply it to your life. That's how it gets in your heart. But I delight to do your will. Let's delight to do God's will. Tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, God, what is it that you want me to do today? Some of us already have a routine. And you know what? Your routine doesn't take God by surprise. You know, it's funny, that story about the talents. You know, he said, I went and hid it, but then when his master came back, he said, why didn't you put it in the bank? And I heard someone today, he said, they didn't put it in the bank because the bank gives account, gives records. So if he would have put it in the bank, the bank would have known who put it in there and where it went. And do you realize whether you put it in the bank or whether you bury it, God knows what happens to it? In other words, you can't hide it from God. So let's take delight in doing God's will. When you wake up tomorrow, aside from your daily routine, say, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to know today? Who do you want me to help today? What do I need to change today? You'd be surprised what he says. God is like saying, yes, that's what I've been waiting for. He will show you. But you got to take the delight. You know, we need to get out of the religious mindset that doing God's will is so hard. Every time I step out to do something for God, the devil attacks me. So I'm going to do nothing. Good, and then the devil won. You know, can you imagine? You know, David went to work and his boss would throw spears at him. Jesus showed up for work and they called him a wine bibber and they tried to kill him countless times. They tried to trip him up. There were people trying to set him up time after time. And finally they realized that I'm not asking him another question. Because they would ask him a question. He would say, well, I'll answer your question if you answer my question. But you know what? Here's how Jesus thought about it. Go to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Here's what Jesus thought. This is why Jesus was successful. John 6 and go to John 4. Let's go to John 4:34. Nope, that's not it. Oh yeah, here we are. Okay. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my meat is to what? Is to do the will of him that sent me and to what? Finish his work. Do you realize there's a lot of people since creation that left before their work was done? Now, the Apostle Paul, he got to the point where he said, I finished my course with joy. I have run my race. I've finished my course. He was able to say he was finished before he was done. Before he left this earth, he was able to say, I finished it. You know, Noah had to nail the last nail into that ark. He couldn't let that ark have any holes in it. Everything had to be sealed. Everything had to be together. Why? Because there was a flood coming. Can you imagine if Noah tried to take shortcuts in the ark? You know, if he wouldn't have used the right timber that God said to use? If he wouldn't have used the pitch God said use? If he wouldn't follow those instructions that he was given, that boat wouldn't have floated like it needed to. So, this is how we need to approach God. It needs to be our meat. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Make up your mind. Say, I'm not leaving this earth until my work is done. You can leave this earth on the seventh day. When all your work is done, then you can rest. Amen? But Jesus said, my meat or my nourishment is to do the will, is to do his pleasure. He came to please the one who sent him. And nothing could deter Jesus from what God sent him to do. Nothing could have stopped him. Even his closest friends couldn't stop him. You remember when Peter, when he said, I'm going to suffer and die, and Peter rose up and said, no, he said, Satan, get behind me. Listen, sometimes people that are close to you are yielding to the devil, and you can't listen to what they say, and you can't let what they do stop you from doing what God wants you to do. That's why you better get in your heart what God wants you to do. You better get full of the knowledge of the will of God. You better know what God wants you to do. You cannot wander around wondering what God wants you to do. God is supposed to be a wonder. You're not supposed to be wondering. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. When you do what God says, you're going to have God's results. When you do what you think he said, you're going to have those results. So in other words, it's when you do what God says to do, you're going to see who you've been pleasing. In other words, it's in the doing of the will that reveals who's being pleased by that will being done. If that makes sense. Be doers of the word, right? Not hearers only. You've got to do it. Say, I'm a doer. Every Christian is an action figure. You're a superhero and you're an action figure. Why? Because you take action. When God speaks, you translate it into action. All right, let's finish up for tonight. Two more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and Colossians 1, 9. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. Why is this important? It's important to have heaven on earth. God's will needs to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, no one is complaining about saying they can't do this, or they're not giving excuses as you know, if God says this, you know, the angels aren't saying, God, we can't do it. You know, there's just not enough. There's not enough time. They can't complain that there's not enough time. They can't complain that they're tired. In heaven, no one complains. When God speaks, everyone reacts. In heaven, they're in perfect unison with what God wants. And that's what needs to happen here. And through Jesus Christ, it can. Ephesians 6, 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? The heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. So ultimately, the things that we do, we're supposed to represent the Lord. And then finally, Colossians 1:9, and then I'm going to close for tonight. This is the key, right here, to knowing what God wants. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. How many want to know God's will? Well, this is a prayer to pray, to be filled, to know what God's will is. If you're filled with knowledge, then you're filled with knowing. If you're filled with knowledge, then you know. Right? Okay. Filled with the knowledge of His will in some wisdom. Didn't say some? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto some pleasing. All. Very good. Being fruitful in what? Every good work. Fruitful. That means it's producing something. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Guess what? You may have done God's will yesterday, but today's a new day. Amen? There is more things that God wants you to do today than you did yesterday. So we should be increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that awesome? And when you do that, when you're walking in the knowledge of God's will, you're going to have heaven on earth. I'll tell you why. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to experience the greatest joy you've ever known. When you're doing what God wants you to do, circumstances and people can't take you away from it. When you're doing what God wants you to do, even though a lot will be involved, it'll be fun. It's hard to put it in words. It'll be awesome. It'll be invigorating. Yes. And it's not like God doesn't want you to know what His will is. All throughout the Bible, He wants to make His will known. But we have to go after it. You know, it's not just going to like drop out of the sky. Woo, God's will just hit me. But that's what we need to do to have heaven on earth. And it's where days are multiplied. It's where enemies are defeated. It's where things are happening. Amen? And just do what God wants you to do. Start doing it in the little things. We should, you know, God's will for your life is kind of a big thing. But there are some things, there's little things that God wants you to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Study the Word. What happens if you don't study? You'll be ashamed. These are little things that they're God's will, but there's things that we can do, amen? So let's just start doing it. And that's the key to having days of heaven on earth. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your power, the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, You have enabled us, You have equipped us with everything that we need to do Your will, to do Your desire, to fulfill Your plan, to do Your call. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we have hearts that will answer Your call when You call. Lord, we will run when You say run. We will go where You say go. We will be what You say be, without hesitation, without reservation, without reasoning, without thinking it out. When I say that, I don't mean don't think about it. I mean don't let your head get in the way. So, Father, I give You thanks and praise that those here tonight, young and older, Father, may we all do Your will. Father, fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we can walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you in all things. And you know what? If you need to make adjustments along the way, because guess what? You will make adjustments. Just make, it's much easier to make little adjustments as you go than having to make big ones. So, just make the little adjustments. Amen? Amen. Well, that's all that I have tonight.